For everyone joining us, this is going to be our, what is it, now we're in March giveaway. So we'll be giving away some pretty cool things here and next month. But we're going to roll this like a normal episode, but have it live. So hopefully you guys can stay the entire time. We'll be doing the giveaway later as we talk. So welcome to Asada Destination Podcast. Speaking is Josh from North Country Woodworking.
Nat from Nat's Naughty Works LLC.
This is Tim from Gears and Fire.
Yeah, and then, yeah. Tim. I'm Cody Elkins. I'm with Cadence Manufacturing and Design. I make the Jenny bits.
So
Uptown Jenny.
You probably recognize him from before because we've had him on. Was it two, three times?
It's been a couple times.
Yeah, it's been a couple times. So, well, we're going to learn about his experience here at WorkbenchCon because we are doing this live from WorkbenchCon 24. As you can see in the background, we're here in the VIP room. Ooh.
Yeah, we feel so special right now. It's so VIP-ish here right now.
We're going to have a few guests dropping by too. So it's going to be fun, you know, easygoing episode with a giveaway mixed in. And the more people you guys can get on here, the bigger we can give the giveaway. So we're shooting for as many as we can get. So tell your friends, tell your wife to log in, whatever you need to do. Just make sure you subscribe, and we can get that giveaway going.
And everyone that's on the story, there's a link tree story, all the things. So if you have a hard time finding it, just go to our story, click the link, find the March live, and that's where you can find this live episode.
Absolutely. So let's get this kicked off with, what do you think about WorkbenchCon? Hard-hitting questions.
So last year, you guys came out, and I was invited to come out last year, and I couldn't make it because I was out doing training in Michigan when I bought the machine. But it was just kind of crazy because I felt like I still had a presence here. And you guys were so instrumental when I was doing the Kickstarter campaign. You guys were handing out flyers for me. And so I just wanted to, one, thank you guys for that. Again, like it truly meant a lot, and it still means a lot. Even me sitting down with you guys just – visiting, like it's a humbling experience.
Well, it's nice to meet you in person, and we appreciate.
I've been looking forward
to meet the man behind the legend, so to speak. I think a lot of us rely on your bits, and I mean that in a literal sense. Let's be clear.
Well, so it's kind of interesting, like you say that, right? But for me personally, I think what really kind of drives me is the core of like who I am and what I believe. I believe that every single human being on this planet has a God-given gift of creativity. Like you guys, I mean, all of us. And the fact that I get to participate in your God-given gift of creativity, like that's something that's really special to me personally. And that's what really keeps me going, you know? And I can't tell you how many times somebody would buy some tools and then they would make a sign for a fallen soldier, or for, you know, somebody who died in the line of duty, a police officer. And it's like, holy cow, I got to be a part of that. And that's what makes this community so special, I think, you know, and it's like, wow, I get to be a part of it. So it's not like me being a legend in any way, shape or form. Like it's the community and what we do together as a whole that I think is just good and wholesome.
Yeah.
So that's
the maker community is the best community in my personal opinion, because it is uplifting. It's like Nap always says, you know, community over competition. And I think you're absolutely helping us facilitate that.
Yeah. Well, I believe it. I really do. And so being able to come this year to WorkbenchCon, like it's crazy. Cause I was kind of starstruck, you know, because
it was like that last year for me as well.
Yeah.
There's all these people that I've like watched and followed and have become friends with over the years. And I finally got to meet them in person, you know, like, but on the other hand, there's like these people coming up to me. They're like, man, I'm so excited to meet you. And I'm like, dude, what are you talking about? Like, no, it's the other way around. And so it's been, man, I've been soaking it up, and I've really, really been enjoying it. You know, but we were kind of talking earlier, so I came down a day before, and I got to go hang out with Hamilton at his shop, and all the guys from Carveco and Onefinity, and we were hanging out while we were here a day early, and there was like a Napa convention, and I think like Napa Auto Parts, right?
Yeah.
So So we get here, and I think it was like the higher up, upper echelon of Napa. I don't know, but there was a ton of people here, and they were decked out in like the nicest clothing I've ever seen in my life, right? And I felt like a fish out of water because I'm in like jeans and work boots and a ball cap. And
yeah.
And it was funny because like the next day, the next morning, people for WorkbenchCon started coming in. I started seeing the beards and the beer bellies. Hell and yeah. I'm like, yes, there's my people right there. And so, so it was just, I've been loving every minute of it. The only thing that I kind of struggle with mm-hmm. is, you know, I really enjoy talking with people.
Mm-hmm.
And so I get pulled in one direction and then I'll be talking for a long time. Then I get pulled in another direction. And it's like, man, I was really hoping to visit with that person. And so I feel like I could be here another 2 days mm-hmm. just to get to know people. So that's one thing it's my first time being here. So I didn't really know what to expect.
The first time is kind of hard. Cause like you're saying, there's so many people you want to connect with.
Yeah.
And I remember the first time I came, I was running around with my head cut off.
He was like, all by himself.
I was literally talking to everyone because you have so many people that you talk to and you want to meet and like sit down and have a conversation with. And any advice I could give you about like the first time, take a breath. You're not going to hit everybody. And then come back next year and try to get the other half.
So some words of advice to anybody who wants to come next year. And I wish I would have learned this beforehand, but mm-hmm. after kind of talking to the veterans, like bring cough drops.
Yeah, actually.
Because it gets
a lot of drinking water, big old thermos of water.
A lot of water, but like it gets so loud and you start like talking over the crowds and talking over the music and stuff. Like I literally lost my voice like the first night. And so good. The next day my voice is all like groggy. And we were joking about, did you ever watch Friends when you were young?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like there was an episode when Phoebe like lost her voice and she thought she sounded all sexy with like the song or whatever. And I don't know. So it kind of turned into a running joke out there, but.
You're the Phoebe. Is that what I'm understanding?
No, Lord, no. I can't even carry a tune in a bucket. I don't sing it. You kidding me? But no, it's been great. I think the other thing that I've kind of learned, you know, mm-hmm. I spent a lot of money coming out here, and so I was really – so in WorkbenchCon, there's a lot of different classes that you can take. So there's – if you wanted to learn more about growing your YouTube channel or mm-hmm. whatever, there's all these classes that can help you grow as a maker, as a content creator. And I'm not really a content creator. I'm just friends with everybody who is.
That's kind of how I feel.
You know, So I know like how much that goes into it and I can appreciate all of it and I just don't have the bandwidth, right?
I feel that.
and so I was asking my questions like, what classes do I really want to attend that I'm going to get like $2,000 worth out of a class? And so there was a couple classes I wanted to go to and then next thing you know, I'm getting pulled aside. I'm 15 minutes late and I'm like, mm-hmm. well, I missed that one, you know, And so I finally made it to one class and the question I had was like, is it more valuable for me to make the connections and meet people face to face or go to the classes? Mm-hmm. And I think there's a combination of both, but the only one class that I went to, they really focused in on like building that relationship with people. And I was like, well, that class just answered my question. I need to stay out here and keep talking and meeting people. And
absolutely.
So I've only attended one class. But It was good and it was a lot of fun. I think there's a lot of stuff to offer. And I think if I come next year, I'll probably do the same thing. Attend like one or two classes and then the rest of the time just hang out with you guys. So
and that's kind of,
so if you can put up with me for that long.
Oh, absolutely, man. And that's kind of what we've gathered too. Is like I've gone to a few classes the first time. The second time went to one or two. I haven't gone to any this time. But I mean, the connections that you were making, those are the most important thing. I mean, like, I believe not only for the podcast, but for us personally, make some good friendships, you know, add to that. Good friendships you made, you get to see them in person. I mean, was our third time actually being together?
Yeah. So our first time was episode 100, and that was in my home in Texas when I lived there. And then we met up last year for WorkbenchCon. That would be the second time in person. And then this time. Hell, I stayed at his house before we drove down from Illinois.
Yeah, I remember.
So it's just like
I was living my life vicariously through all your posts. So
And it's crazy because, like, I've only known him through the podcast. And, you know, he could be a serial killer behind the computer. I don't know that. Right? Oh, I'm sorry. But, you know, him and I are like brothers. Legitimately, we think we actually might have the same parents in some way, shape, or form because we do some of the same stuff. And it's just weird, honestly. And we don't do it. Like, we don't provoke it or anything. Yeah. It just happens. And you're like, get out of my head. Stop it.
Yeah.
But, no, it's definitely been worth it simply for the connections that have been made. And you know, you said something earlier about, like, you know, you being the legend, right? Or he said legend. There's some things to talk about legend versus legacy. So legend is somebody that just does something and that's it. They kept it to themselves and that's just what it is. Like you're doing more with, like, building a legacy. So your bits are a legacy that's been built through the community and your interactions with the community. You making these relationships here is super important because you're still building further and further and further. And I'm sure you've got plenty of feedback and a lot of good inputs for, you know, your bits that you're making now and the bits that are coming in the future. And I think that is what you are building more than a legend of as a person. You're building a legacy throughout our community. So when you say thank you to us for helping you out, you're helping us out just as much as anybody else. So we
just appreciate it. To kind of build on that, Nap, he's also listening to the community and making what we ask for. Versus just making a product and hoping it sells. Like, you actually listen to the community, and that's
hoping it works, right?
And to build off,
good luck, everybody. Here's some bits.
Hey, don't break them. Wait, what?
To build off with Tim, what you're saying is we've actually got this time around to meet a lot of different businesses here and that have that like-mindedness. So, like, listening to the community, test their brands, and they come out with something new. There's actually products here that essentially came out with a jig similar to something we mentioned in a previous podcast. And they'll be coming on to talk and tell their story. And it's fun to get those connections. So, I mean, like, if anything, I could label Workbench Con and it'd be connections.
Yeah.
I mean, like, building connections one at a time.
So now, have you been to Maker Camp? I can't remember if we have this part.
I have not. I've not been.
So I think we'll have some folks on that bend to Maker Camp, or at least know a little bit more about Maker Camp. But are you going to go to that this year?
So I don't know.
I think so you should.
I'm literally a one-man band, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm making my tools. I'm answering all the emails. I'm packaging everything. So if I leave for a week, like, orders won't be fulfilled for a week.
Mm-hmm.
And so here it's kind of nice because I literally brought all of my stock with me and I've been processing orders every night and then packaging them after we're done hanging out at 1 o'clock in the morning and mailing them in the morning, the next morning. So it's nice because I'm able to do that and, like, set up, but I don't know that I can do that there.
That's a fair point.
So the answer is maybe. My wife helps me a lot with I sign every single order saying thank you.
Yes.
Like, mm-hmm. every single order. And when I get a lot of orders all at once, my wife will sometimes go over there and sign and say thank you. And then I always make it a point to say, sign my name at least. So maybe I can get her trained up on how to run ShipStation and process orders. And if I can get her trained up, maybe I'll make some awesome process maps. Like, I was a quality engineer, so I think, like, process maps. Mm-hmm. I'll just make her a process map, and maybe she can ship stuff so I can go to Maker Camp for a week.
Yeah, I mean,
employee cross training is essential.
One at a time.
So the answer is maybe. I would really like to go because, like I said, this place is really fancy, and I would feel way more in my element in the woods at a campfire. You know, so I think it'd be a blast. I think it'd be a lot of fun too.
And well, I think, if you come, you are welcome at Camp Goondocks. We make chili. We make all the good stuff. So
it's like a whole freaking mess of things.
How can I say no to that? I'm
going to actually start making a process. This is your official invitation. The gauntlet has been dropped.
Oh, man, that's awesome.
So now, okay, you've experienced it. You said it's kind of fancy here. Would you come back to Workbench Con?
100%. I hope I can come again next year.
Okay.
Just because of the relationships alone.
Yes. I agree. I mean, for us, we're lucky because of PWNCNC. Because he brings us on, we help him out. And, you know, we probably would have gone without him, to be completely honest. He's the one that got us here the first time. He continues to bring us back. And, like, it's beneficial to everybody because, like, again, connections.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I mean, so last year, Onefinity invited me to come and hang out with them, mm-hmm. and I had to say no because I was in Michigan for training.
Yeah.
And then when they invited me to go again this time, I was like, man, I don't want to be that guy that says no all the time, and I don't know how many opportunities I would have to be invited like that. So I just told my wife, it's like, man, I really need to make this a priority to be here.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, and so working with Onefinity and Carveco, it's like, so talking about that relationship side, you know, it's, mm-hmm. it's, I can relate 100% with like you guys and Daniel and PWN. And so,
it's a privilege that we never thought we would have.
Right.
Because I mean, like, let's be honest, the ticket price is pretty hefty.
It is.
So, mm-hmm. not everyone can afford that out of pocket. So I
have a plan, and there's several people who I'm like, hey, are you going to go? And they're like, no, I couldn't really justify it. So I'm going to start a 12-step plan starting like next month and just put $100 in an envelope every single month for the next year, and then you'll have enough to come.
Oh, absolutely.
And so if I can, like, that should be the plan. We should tell everybody to do that. Yeah. And just have this, like,
I do that, but it's for Christmas.
Oh, gosh.
Hey, well, since you're closer, can you start typing?
Tim, if you don't mind, can you go ahead and run the picker wheel for this this giveaway?
Start putting the names that are in the chat and whatnot, so that way.
Are you good to do that, sir?
I've never done that. Sorry.
Okay. It's hard to see, but yeah, I can go ahead and I can get it on there. Well, we do have another special guest sitting here. He's kind of behind the scenes. He's just watching. But I'm going to go off camera a little bit. You guys keep on chatting. I'm going to write down who we have in here. Then we're going to tell you a little bit about what we're going to give away. And we can go from there.
Yeah.
So let you guys.
I have a question for you.
Okay.
So, you know, I think there's wisdom in the council of many. And sure. You guys are asking me, like, what I think about Workbench Con and all this stuff. Like, what's the biggest thing you've kind of gleaned from all of this?
So one of the things you hit on big was the relationship piece and just talking to many different makers and whatnot. But what I like to see is how we have all these different businesses that come out here and they show what they got. But you really start to see that there are so many like-minded people, because sometimes in the maker community, when we're operating and doing our things in our shops and all these things, you see sides of folks that you never thought you'd see. And I'm not talking necessarily always good sides. Sometimes you get a bad taste in your mouth, right? But then when I come here, with the businesses that I've interacted with, at least, I get the opposite feeling, because there are many folks here that are very like-minded that want to help the community, like the Lightburn folks. Right. So I've never talked to Lightburn folks ever. And they're just as maker centric as I think anybody that would align with us as like Sawdust Ninja Podcast, yourself. So the relationships were for sure, seeing the good side of the maker community, because unfortunately I have seen some of the dark sides of the community, right, that aren't as pleasant. But this kind of realigns and recenters me to, like, okay, yeah, there's still a lot of good people out there. Now, as far as, like, us being in our booth, it's really cool to get the feedback. Mm-hmm. So we have people ask questions about the machines, the kits that, you know, Daniel makes, the ATC being one of the newest things he makes. I had a lot of questions like, well, what about this? What about that? How much PSI does this need? What kind of compressor? Like, all sorts of things. And it's like, okay, well, so this is all information we should, include in, like, when he sells his product and things. Right. So it's a lot of good, like, information that flows to help him. And then also, you know, we like to spread the word of Sawdust Nation Podcast, right?
Yeah,
so we're here for, like, many different hats. And, you know, this podcast has been going for almost 200 episodes. And whether our following is huge or not huge, we still do the same stuff.
Yeah.
And so another part that I take from it is that there are a lot of people that do believe in what we're doing. So that's why we keep doing it.
Yeah. So one person I was talking to, Brad from, Fix This, Build That.
Yeah.
So I had the opportunity to sit down and, like, visit with him, and he said some things that I was like, it was really insightful.
Mm-hmm.
So again, I'm not really a content creator, but I can appreciate, like, everything that you guys do and with the podcast. And one thing he said to me that I think is, like, really good advice for anybody He's like, if you're just chasing numbers and subs, he's like, that's not what the important thing is. But he said, if you had like 1,000 true followers, mm-hmm. you're going to be more successful at what you do having 1,000 like true followers versus 2 million people who just follow, just watch and scroll and look through or whatever. And so it's not even like the numbers thing, but again, it's going back to building those relationships to have that type of following to help set out, do whatever you're trying to accomplish.
Yeah.
You know, and I was like, that's such a cool like concept and a thought. And I never really thought about it because I don't have subscribers.
Right, right.
You know? So,
right. But to that point, that's meaningful engagement. That's what we're looking for. We don't care about the numbers. We care about meaningful engagement.
Yeah. You know, and so just kind of learning a lot of stuff like that, I thought it was just really cool and insightful. And is that a cat?
It is. Tim's cat is joining us.
What's the podcast and the cats, man?
I don't know.
Well, and the other thing I'm really trying to make it a point to do too, and I haven't hit everyone yet, but I kind of have a unique perspective of helping set up the booth with like Onefinity and Carveco and doing all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And I know that they worked like really, really hard on it and they spent a lot of money to do all of that. And so I'm trying to hit up like every booth and just say, hey, you know what? Thank you for taking the time to like invest in this and to set up and to make this available and making my first experience like great. Like I've never done an epoxy before, but I still want to go to total boat mm-hmm. and just tell them, you know, thanks for being here and like making this a possibility.
So yeah, me and Epoxy, we have a terrible relationship. I do smoke his stuff, but I just don't.
I did one epoxy job actually. I had this opportunity to do this huge, dude. It was huge. It was like 2-inch thick walnut.
Sounds like my kind of project.
Huge flag, and it was like 1776, and the union was like this big, and so I had the stars 1776, and we did an epoxy inlay, so we had the white stars on the mm-hmm. on the walnut, and it looked fantastic. It looked really good. And it was neat too because we actually put an AR-15 in the flag.
Oh, that's
so cool. So it was big enough to hold an AR.
That's a awesome. Very large flag.
So that was the only epoxy job I've ever done. So
it's, you know, epoxy's got a lot of good utility, a lot of good uses. I've just had I've had my fair share of oopses. Like I've had exothermic reactions where I either put a little too much hardener, and this is before I started using the calibrated pumps that Total Boat has, which by the way are like awesome. But I was doing like the weighing it out, measuring it, and then I was like, Oh, I put too much, it's getting hot, and then you know, start smoking off gassing and the cup is like melting. And I'm like, oh, what did I do?
That was a day for chemistry.
yes, it was indeed.
It's like something I probably saw in Rescue 911 or something like that.
Something. And I was just like, what is happening right now? But good. I'm glad that you've gotten a lot out of this particular event. And is this like the first like actual conference you've been to? Have you done other conferences for things like
the only other conference
than Napa?
Yeah.
Other than Napa. I've been to the homeschool convention. Okay. That's the only other convention I've been to. We homeschool. So
this is like the first true, like out, like in the community type of convention that you've done.
First ever.
Yep. And good. I'm glad it was a good experience because it hopefully will, like you said, get you to go out to other ones. Hopefully we'll see you Maker Camp because, we're going to try to make our first appearance there. I've never been as well. I want to go camping in a tent. Yeah. So I like doing
that. Yes. That's my guy. That's my guy.
Like, oh yeah. You can rent an RV. I was like, that sounds cool. You can. I might just go get like that 12 person tent, you know?
Well, dude,
come on up to the Goondocks. We're all campers. We're hardcore.
They make some pretty nice tents now. My family and I, we try to go camping at least a couple times a year. And we, you know, we'll go up to Sedona and like it's beautiful up there. And my family is getting like bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
I have like three little girls and a son who just actually moved out, got his first apartment. So that was kind of cool. My wife and I were expecting another like baby girl in May. So one moves out and another one comes in. And so I have the big like.
Yeah.
But as we're getting older and I have like little ones, my wife's like, you know, camping is awesome and having the really nice tent is awesome. But it's so hard for her to take care of a 2-year-old
yeah.
in a tent. Or she's like, okay, maybe
we're
looking on.
I'll testify to that.
Let's start looking on OfferUp and see if we can find a used like camp trailer that we can take. And I was like, perfect. We'll have the girls camp in the tent outside.
Yes.
So,
yeah, I remember when my first daughter was 9 months old, we went camping. It was a little chilly. We made it happen.
9 months, Tim?
Yeah.
Brave man.
I think we just became best friends.
It's camping. It's not hard. Like, people in the days of yore camped with their kids, essentially.
No, sure. I don't care about camping with kids, but a nine-month-old, like, I have a hard time with this two-month-old.
The only thing I always thought was kind of funny, because we did the same thing. We took our kids when they're really small camping too. You know, put a pack and play in the tent.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
But have you ever been like hunting for coyotes or anything like that?
Well, I tried to hunt for deer, but got a ram.
And a Ford.
And a Ford.
Like the calls. When you're calling in coyotes.
Collateral.
Make sure.
That Ford never had a chance.
When you're calling in coyotes, it always reminded me of like a crying baby.
Yes.
And so I always thought that was kind of funny. Going camping, we have a crying baby. Like, our coyote's going to come in. I don't know. I just,
you're going to attract more crying babies.
I guess I'm weird and kind of think like that. But
sorry, I'm doing all the admin stuff.
Yeah, we're.
That's okay. I'm over here talking homeschool and camping and coyotes.
That's why we do this.
Right? Yeah, I mean, it's about getting together, connection, right? Giving back to the community and getting to know people. Mm-hmm. So, like, that's everyone here. Like, Tim, he loves camping. I love camping. I'm sure people that do what we do, a majority of us love camping. We work with wood.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? The base of that is, going into the woods and enjoying nature.
Testing the durability and
exactly.
Putting it back home with its friends.
I seriously thought about going out and doing like a live and just going up to a tree and just touching it, it'd be like a maple tree, be like, this is the most beautiful pine tree I've ever seen, and just act completely normal and continue on and mislabel every tree I see and just see what happens. It would blow up based on the fact, because people are going to correct you, right? I mean, like, you ever want to know what a piece of wood is? Say something completely idiotic and call it something different. You'll know what that was in 2 minutes.
You will light up the responses, the comment section.
You know what? I'm gonna test this theory. I'm gonna put something stupid on mine. I don't have a big following, right? But I'm gonna do it, and I'm gonna save it. But there's gonna be a wood that we all know and love, but I'm gonna call it something dumb, and I'm gonna see what reaction I get.
Do pine? So, it'd be like, this is the most beautiful walnut I've ever seen.
It's gotta be like an obvious thing.
So full disclosure, there's been times where like I made like a short reel or something and it's 11 o'clock at night and my eyes are like half open and like I'll accidentally like misspell a word or my grammatically like incorrect and then I post it and somebody's like, oh, it's your, not your. And I'm like, oh, whatever.
I love that.
Like autocorrect, right?
You know what? It's feedback.
Well, now I just say, if I do that, I'm like, yeah, that was on purpose because I want people to start, engaging in the comments. So that way
it's a feature post.
Yeah.
So I can't figure out
the feature.
So if I make a mistake, I'll say that I did it on purpose to get more interaction.
That's perfect. I hear you here, folks. Just do something wrong so people correct you.
Yeah.
People's engagement.
It works. Unfortunately, people like correcting other people.
I think it's funny.
So, I mean,
I do too. I think watching people get super spun up about something that's super simple, it's, I don't know, I find some kind of joy in it.
Yeah. So it's pushing big red buttons. It's always fun.
Oh, yeah. So everyone that's here, with this giveaway, we're going to change it up a little bit so we can kind of spread the love a little further. Today, we'll be giving away a $50 gift card to Cody, awesome. Cody Jenny's Bits. That way you can go on there, you can buy whatever bit you want or multiple bits, depending on how you purchase those. And then the next giveaway, we're going to give an additional $50 gift card to. That way we can kind of spread the love a little bit. More than one person can win that gift card, and they can, if haven't already experienced his bits and how superior they are to other ones, that's what we're trying to do, right? We're talking connection. Mm-hmm. And the best way we could do that is make sure that everyone gets a little something.
So, and I'm going to tell you firsthand, when he came out with the Jenny bit, I was looking for, the compression type deal, right? Because we got the up and the down. Or in this case, it's down and then up, because that's how you built your geometry correctly. It's that very first, 0.1 is a down, and the rest is an up to eject chips. Is that how that works?
Well, so being in the community and being a woodworker and having, these machines, I think that that's one thing that really helped me, develop and do what I've been doing. You have all of these other really big bit manufacturers. Mm-hmm. And for years, you know, the maker community came, you could get your CNC machine and you would buy what works, and they make great tools and they've been working for years and years, but they were always geared towards like industrial machines because that's what they had before mm-hmm. we had hobby grade CNC machines. And so after having my machine for a couple of years and just doing all the stuff that I was doing, especially from the production side, because I run a lot of production woodworking. So I try to build processes that are repeatable and scalable. Mm-hmm. And I build a lot of like fixtures, and I'm trying to make them as efficiently as I can. And so, I hate sanding. So that's when I started using those other compression routers, because I didn't want to do as much sanding, mm-hmm. but my machine couldn't handle 300,000 steps of cut in whiskey barrel wood. Right. And so on the Jenny bit specifically, you know, I designed my tooling to have a really short upcut portion.
Okay. Yeah.
Of only like 0.1, you know, less than an eighth inch. And then there's the transition to the down shear, and in doing so that way, it created it to where the minimum depth of cut required was only an eighth inch. And on my belt driven machines, I can do an eighth inch depth of cut all day long, you know? So I really started designing my tools for guys like us and building more rigidity into the tools to make our processes better, mm-hmm. faster and stronger, and all of those things that go into it.
And you can honestly see that with using your bits, because like any other bits I've used, I have to slow down. It encouraged me to actually speed it up and get, and it's awesome. It's scary, but it's awesome. Cause you know, not that strong compared to other CNC manufacturers use. So there's always that, you know, what's going to happen, belt break or whatnot. But touching
on the scary part of it though, that comes from a lack of knowledge, so to speak. I just bought my first CNC yesterday. I want to get this thing going. Well, this guy sells bits. No, I'm saying like as an example, right? Okay, I just bought a CNC. I'm getting these bits from Cadence Manufacturing, but how fast do I run this thing? So like, can you kind of touch on the educational side of it? Like, I mean, do you have things on your site as far as feeds and speeds? I know one thing that always kind of bugged me from the get-go was like, I always find feeds and speeds, but as you kind of mentioned before, there's no or a very small amount of information regarding depth of cut. Well, it's always that third thing that people forget about.
Yeah. So one thing, and again, I cannot like thank you guys enough. Thank you, the community. So all the tools that I developed, I was doing it for personal use to make my process better. Mm-hmm. And then I shared it with you guys. Mm-hmm. Right. And then as I started releasing other tools, I was sending the tools out to everybody and having them test it to develop the best ideal feeds and speeds for our machines. So it wasn't just like me, it's literally community tested and approved, right? And so working with other people, you know, Mitz has been absolutely instrumental, man. I love Mitz. He's been so helpful. He actually has put together a Carveco tool database for all of my tools that's already pre-populated with feeds and speeds. Mm-hmm. And I also now have a Vectric tool database.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Downloadable on my website.
And that's all on your site.
It's all on my website. And so the nice thing is working with everybody and then kind of fine tuning it, you know, it's kind of the baseline, because there's a lot of different people who have different machines who buy my tools, and some machines can run them way harder and faster than others. Mm-hmm. So the published feeds and speeds, they are a little bit more conservative. But it's a good baseline to start. But my encouragement to you is like, start there and then develop it for what works best for your process, because every wood's a little bit different, you know, like the grain, like there's so many different variables. It's hard to say, okay, use these feeds and speeds and they'll work forever, because that will never be the case.
Well, it's a good point. I mean, what Tim was hitting on was essentially like, if you bought a CNC, buy your bit. They know that they can use those because they have been community tested. Mm-hmm. And then like people have been using it longer, you know.
I'm still conservative. Sorry, I don't.
I point at you, but I'm meant to go this way.
He hasn't found that full send feature yet.
I found the full send feature since we've been here.
Yeah.
I found out, you know, a Jenny can go 600 inches per minute at about an eighth of an inch, and it worked wonderfully.
You didn't even touch it.
So here's the thing.
You didn't make an ornament?
No, not even close.
So I've worked in manufacturing like my entire adult career, right? And so when you're setting up like a big five-axis machine and you're machining like more aging steel or even like aluminum, you know, the better that your setup is and the more rigid your actual work holding is, like all of that's going to help, right? Mm-hmm. So more of those variables that you can manage on the front end before you send it, like that's always going to help, you know? Yes. So like I always tell people, whenever you're cutting something, tool projection like is really important. Mm-hmm. So if you have an 1/8 inch compression router and you're only holding on to 1/4 inch and it's sticking out, you know, 2 inches, and then you try to send it at 100 inches a minute, like you're going to break your tool just from the tool deflection, you know, so stick your tools as far up into the collet as you can go. And I always, and this was drilled into me for years and years working in machine shops, I put my tools all the way up to where the flutes like start. Mm-hmm. So I have the minimum tool projection as possible. Mm-hmm. It's always going to help your process.
When
that's a great tip for anyone first starting with CNC.
Well, even first starting, I mean, because not to interrupt you, but I got some of your bits. I was using them, you know, I tagged you and you were actually looking out. Like I didn't have it all the way out. I had, just too much a bit. So he reaches out and goes, hey, you know, bring it up a little bit, bring it to where it starts fluting out. And I did, and I had better performance. I was able to go faster and, like, looking out for people.
Well, sense. Just make sure you don't actually tighten your collet nut down, like, with the flutes in your collet.
Yeah, like, I mean, just before, like,
You know, so, but that's important, too, because, like, when I build my tools, I actually give them, like, a larger core diameter. And having a larger core diameter, that helps eliminate some of the vibrations and harmonics. Yep. And so the more of that you can manage with your work holding, with your tool projection, with the tool itself, the better results and the finish you'll get in your end result, you know? So it's just kind of being mindful of that stuff as you're setting it up. It's not hard, you know, you just be mindful of it.
So we all get complacent with that stuff, I think, is why we
have issues.
Well, and... I mean, same here. I can't tell you how many times I've broken bits over stupid, like I totally put a clamp right in the way and slam right into it. And I'm just like,
it's hard to think of everything every single time. Mistakes will happen. And it's that learning curve. Like after you break so many bits or do something, you learn.
Yeah.
You try to learn from other people, like the podcast and other people's experience, but nothing's better than learning in person because that memory carries. So,
well, and you know, the other thing too, like there's this one time my son was a part of a First Robotics club, I guess
you call it. I love that program.
So I was fortunate enough to be a mentor and I was helping the kids learn how to design and build robots. And it was cool because the club that we had, it was like a homeschool group. So mm-hmm. it was like a community.
Yeah.
First Robotics. And it wasn't associated with the school. And so they didn't get any funding like the schools did.
Okay.
And it was incredible because the kids had to operate it like a small business. So they had like their social media, they had to hit the blacktop, they had to get sponsorships from other companies, and you know, they had to do their 30-second elevator pitch and what they're doing and why to gain money so we could be a part of it.
That's awesome. They are getting more of an education out of doing that.
Oh dude, I am
side of it.
Seriously.
That's fantastic.
If you have an opportunity to put your kids into like a First Robotics or anything STEM related, like it's so good. It really, really is. And it's rewarding too. Like even if you're not a mentor, but like you're just a part of it, it's really cool to see. But anyways, so I was using my machines and the kids, they would go into AutoCAD. Mm-hmm. And because it was running like a small business, like I had the kids make all the models and then I had them make blueprints. And then we would take the blueprints and then I have the kids make all the individual parts to print just like a real machine shop. Right. Yeah. So they can learn how the real world works in manufacturing.
That's pretty cool.
Well, so we were using my machines to do a lot of these stuff and I was going out and I was buying like Amana bits and, you know, and
expensive.
And there was one time, so I was cutting this like acrylic and I had this like 1/8 inch O flute, and I was going over there and I was picking up my X, Y, and Z, and I hit the joystick on accident and I and I broke it, and I'm like, no.
I might have done that.
And it was like late at night, and the kids needed the part the next morning, Saturday morning. And so as soon as the wood store opened up, I went and grabbed another one, and I did the exact same thing twice in a row.
Oh,
and each tool was like $50 a piece.
Yeah, it's $100, right? And we're gonna go.
And so I know the feeling of like breaking a tool. And so kind of one of my, I don't know, personal convictions is having like a Mana quality, but on a 2-car garage budget, because I'm an end user of my own tools. So when you talk
about, I like that so much.
Your budget.
On a 2-car garage budget. That's fantastic. Like,
well, so like when I'm you're talking that. About breaking bits, like I've been there, I know the feeling. And so, yeah. So if I can help the community and see those little things, maybe give little tips here and there. Like, it sucks breaking tools and it hurts my soul. So,
but it helps too, because educating is part of what the community does. Right.
Yeah.
And we do it in such a way where it's not degrading. It's, we all understand we make mistakes, and for the most part, people take it pretty good. If you say, you reach out, hey, you know, I saw this, blah, blah, blah. And you have to use that as a learning curve. We don't know everything. We might have learned something wrong in the process. And if like Nap sees, hey, man, I saw this, you know, if you do this, it'd be this much better, it'd be this structurally better. I'm not going to be all involved. You can't take offense to that. You saw something, you let me know. That's helpful. It's delivery.
Right. I mean,
we'll say delivery matters. It's
just like when you make a project for a customer is allowed to have critical feedback.
Yeah.
That's also something we welcome, because how else are we going to get better if we never make a mistake, right? So like if I make a mistake, call me out on it, because otherwise I'm just going to keep making the same mistake.
Yeah.
So real quick, we do have a couple of questions I want Cody to answer here in the chat. So I'm going to scroll up here. Let's see. I'm trying to find it. Platte Valley asks, can I use these bits in a regular router?
Yes. So I actually, there's a lot of guys like in the Shaper Origin community.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, I have a lot of people buying, especially like my 2-flute downshear cutters and using them on their Origins, and they absolutely love it. It works well for them. The only thing, I just keep an eye on the RPMs. Heat is the number one thing that will break down the cutting edge on any carbide tool. I don't care what the brand is. If you're burning up your bits, it's going to go dull and you'll risk getting a horrible finish or breaking the tool. So as long as you keep a good eye on, just make sure bits not getting really hot, you should be fine.
Yeah.
Make chips not dust.
Exactly. Yeah.
You want a nice healthy chip, you know, you want a fluffy chip. You don't want to see a lot of like sawdust from your router. The quarter inch tooling is a lot more forgiving, you know, so using the quarter inch, like Downtown Jenny or the upcut bits that I'm making or the compression routers, you know, that I would recommend that over 1/8 inch tools on a router, just cause it's so easy to accidentally bump something and then break your 1/8 inch tool and be like me when I broke my Amana 1/8 inch O flute. It's like, yeah.
I remember buying just my first round of bits. And like, so when I ordered my CNC, I didn't know what the quality of bits were. Mm-hmm. So I went and I bought all X-Carve bits. And I bought like their whole kit. And I'm like, oh, I got everything I need. And I started using them. I'm like, this can't be the final product. You know what I mean? Like, because it was trash. The bits I was using were trash. And then I talked to AJ and he's like, hey, check this out. And I bought the first kit and it had like the 60 degree and it had like the down cut and an up cut. And I'm like, awesome. And that's the first bit I broke. The most expensive, like $160 bit kit I bought. And I broke one of the, I think, the 1/8 inch bit. And I'm like, ah. So I feel that pain, truly. And I broke plenty since then. But it's definitely one of those things beginning in the CNC world to pay attention to and listen. So,
well, and so, and I think something else I think is important to point out. So that's a great question about like the trim routers and routers, right? Mm-hmm. So I put the zirconium nitride coating on all of my tools. And the reason why I chose that is I don't remember off the top of my head, the actual hardness of the coating, but it has a really high like wear resistance. But that coating also has a really high lubricity value. So it helps evacuate the chips faster. And so the more that you can evacuate the chips, the more the heat's going to be carried away from the tool, which will increase your tool life up to like three times compared to a bit that doesn't have any coatings at all. You know, so yeah. So like for all of those reasons, yeah, they'll work good. Just keep an eye on not burning them up.
So to kind of
like I said before, I mean, nice fluffy chips. If you're thinking about a t-shirt for Cadence Manufacturing, nice fluffy chips.
I
like that.
So that's yours now.
So I have a couple taglines. One I really like is, you know, Jenny accepted by G-Code everywhere. Or
nice.
You know, I want to make that into a t-shirt. I think that'd be fun.
That would be awesome.
Or like, I like the fluffy chips. We could have a lot of fun with that because it's already kind of like an 80s theme. Mm-hmm. Like Jenny and like fluffy chips. Like I can totally see like an 80s style, like cartoon t-shirt or something like that for a logo. That'd be fun. If you guys want to make something.
Just like a long script of G-Code, but somewhere in there, 8657309.
Yeah. So if anybody out there wants to make a cool logo, like send it to me. And it's, who knows, maybe we'll make some cool stickers or something.
Maybe we work on that. That'd be awesome.
Yeah. I make all my own stickers too. So it's.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Cool. Wow. That's cool.
He made all those stickers that we gave out last year.
We're going to talk later. I want to know. Because I've been. There's a lot of processes I've been working on kind of like behind the scenes, and like some of the things are not really woodworking related, and I just want to learn how to do. And that is definitely one of them. And there's a process as well where I'm trying to basically not inlay. What's it called? Not vinyl. You take an image.
Oh,
I can't think of it.
Sublimation?
Sublimation, but not sublimation. There's ways to do it, and I've been experimenting with like printing out stuff and how I can seal it to something. And I found a process
almost like transfer.
Almost like it's not quite transfer. You're using the same paper. You're just cutting it out. And I'm trying to figure out what different ways you could do that. That's going to hold. That's going to quality. And once in a while, I'll try something a little different. And like, how can you do it with a regular printer? You know, if you need a specialized printer, and like. I'll explain more in a different podcast episode. That way, kind of get into
maybe
it more.
Maybe we can have a sticker episode.
Yeah. But I mean, like, I'm experimenting because I want to be able to have a process that everyone can achieve and not just, you know, someone with a very specialized printer and process and all equipment. But, you know, it's something that I do in the spare time when I have time, which is very little. And, you know, hopefully we can share it this year with the community and kind of get that process out there. And Tim, I'm pretty sure your brain's already cooking there. So
I literally see,
see the gears and the fire.
I have thoughts.
So we actually had a question. Since this is kind of like a live episode and some might not have heard the previous episodes with you on it. Can you tell us a brief history of like how the Jenny became?
Yeah. And I'm sorry I'm talking your guys' ear off. No, I'll try and keep it as like...
This is good. This is gold.
Yeah, we enjoy
I'll try to give you like the Reader's Digest version. So again, I worked aerospace and defense my entire career. Woodworker, side hustle out of my two-car garage doing woodworking services for people. I needed to figure out... Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. I just needed to figure out ways to make my process bigger, you know, better, faster, continual improvement. And then I was having issues, rigidity issues with my belt driven machines.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And then I started designing my own tool geometry just to help make my process better. And manage the rigidity issues I was having on my machines. And then the other thing too, like being in the community, like when I first started making some of my tools, you know, I had other people reach out and they're like, oh, it'd be cool if like maybe you could try this or maybe you can try that. So even in the very genesis, like having these types of conversations, like all of it led into the very first Jenny bit that I made. And it wasn't even the Jenny bit then. It was just a tool that I was using to manage the rigidity. So I did all of that and then and it worked really, really well. I think I made 4 or 5 different iterations before I actually landed with what I have now. Mm-hmm. And it took some time and money, but it was, I don't know, it's like I'm a maker, so I just like did it. And, and so once I finally landed with the original bit, I shared it on Facebook and some of the Facebook groups what I was working on, and everyone's like, man, that's awesome. I want to try it.
Oh, yeah.
And so I hosted one group buy, and we all pooled our money together. Mm-hmm. I didn't have a website. I didn't have any good way to manage it. And so we pulled all of our money together. I made an Excel spreadsheet with everyone's names and everyone's addresses. And
I remember that, because I think I got two. I don't know if maybe it was the second order you did, but I got two of them when you initially came out with the Jenny.
So I was doing all of that. Well, when I went to have the tools made, I had to give it a part number. So there was always a running joke at the shop I used to work at. And anytime somebody was like, hey, you know, what part number are you working on? Somebody would always say, oh, it's 8675309. You know, and it was just...
That's cold.
Forever. For years.
You can't write it better than that.
Well, so when I had to give it the part number, I was like, I don't know. So I was just like 8675309. And so when I launched the group buy, the community saw the part number and everyone started calling the bit Jenny, and the name stuck. And so now I have a whole Jenny line of tools. And then the cool thing about it is, after that first bit, people started asking like, oh, well, can you do an eighth inch compression router? Can you do a tapered ball nose? And so I started developing these other tools, and then I would let the community submit names, and then they would vote on it. And then whatever name was chosen, that person would get a free tool or whatever.
Absolutely.
And so like every tool that I've developed and released and shared, like I haven't named any of them. That's all been from the community.
The people, like, letting the community do that. I mean, they have ownership in it as well.
It makes it fun and kind of exciting. And you kind of, because it's so, from my perspective, it is literally like a grassroots community thing. And I think that's special, and I don't ever want to lose that.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's part of the reason why I sign every single like pack slip, you know, saying thank you. Like it's just important to me. And so I never want to lose sight of that. You know, if I keep chopping wood and pushing forward, and if I have the opportunity to grow my business, like that is one thing I will never, ever let like go away. You know, it's important to me. So that's like the Reader's Digest of like how I started doing what I was doing and how I shared it with you guys. And then the rest is history, you know? And so I think that's about it. I'm still developing tool geometry and, you know, thinking outside the box, like the downshear V-bits, you know, everyone said it couldn't be done. And I was like, why not?
And I remember the first day Nap told me about, he had a downshear V-bit, and I couldn't wrap my head around that. Like, what are you talking about? And then he told me about yours. Like, I bought one like the next day. I ordered it from your site. Like, I had to have this. It was a lifesaver. It's such a huge time saver.
And the thing is everyone's like, and maybe it's just like the old school, you know, perspective, like, you know, you always have like the old machinists and and they're set in their ways, and they're like, you know, especially with compression router bits, you know how many people give me a hard time that I say, hey, eighth inch minimum depth of cut, you're good to go. And then you have like the traditionalists, and they're like, no, you can't do that. You have to do full pass, you know, 100% depth of cut. You know, that's what a compression router is like designed for. And I'm like, and so I don't respond to any of that negative stuff on Facebook.
It's a waste of time.
I don't, but that's like, to me, that's kind of like going to Ford and saying, hey, the roads say 65 miles an hour and you built a race car and you're not allowed to drive that fast because we've been doing it for so long. And it's like, I kind of designed my own personal tools so that I could cut pockets and profiles. Like, you know, it's not a magic bit that like does everything, but for me and my process, I literally designed it so that I could cut pockets and I could do profiles and I can do it in steps, and it works really well for my process. And so anyways, I'm still developing, you know, tool geometry and thinking outside the box and trying to solve problems, you know, like the downshear V-bits. I saw so many posts with ore mask lifting so a lot of people would ask me to make their unions for them because they didn't have a CNC machine, but they were building flags, and they would give me wood that was already pre-painted or pre-stained. And I was having problems using older V-bits where it was like getting some chip out or it was kind of ruining the paint or whatever. And so I'm like, how can we do this better so we don't have to sand a V-carve on a pre-painted whatever.
Yeah.
And then so I started looking into the downshear V-bits, and I came up with the 60, the 30, and the 90-degree Groovy Jennies, and it's worked really, really well, and I think it's helped a lot of people.
I really love those bits.
Yeah.
They're going, when I install the ATC, those are already dedicated spots. I use them a lot.
Yep.
So I was actually talking about that, talking with Cody. I want to build like a little cabinet just for his bits, because I have quite a few bits. I think we all have a variety of bits, I haven't used, other than my 60 degree bit, because I have not got that one yet. But I mean, like, I use your bits for everything I do. Man, I do a lot of cutting out. I do a lot of, you know, pocketing. So I mean, that's primarily what I'm doing. I haven't done a lot of V-carves recently, but regardless, I digress. I wanted to do a little nice cabinet that goes next to the CNC, so I know exactly where they are, because I had a Mini Jenny run away on me.
Yeah. He was like,
what I did is I went down and I actually took down all the speeds and feeds of like an imported into Vetrick, because I just got Vetrick at the time, and then I took all of my bits and I actually put them on a like Excel chart, so I can go and easily reference, you know, with links where I can get them if I break them and whatnot. I over organize sometimes, and
it's a good thing.
And I had it with me because I was reading, you know, what bit it was putting inside. Got all my bits back in the same place and just disappeared. I still haven't found it.
Oh my gosh.
You probably vacuumed it up.
Yeah.
Eighth inch bit disc. I was like, where did my eighth inch, where is it? And then I looked around, I was like, well, it could have fallen on the floor. I literally tore my DC open looking for it. I found it. It was halfway through the bag.
Oh, no, again.
I was like, how did you get in here?
I don't know if it's in my like office area or if it's in my shop. And like, I don't know. I'll eventually find it, I'm sure. But yeah.
Well, dude, if you're anything like me, you'll be like eating an M&M or something, and one falls on the ground. You'll do one of these and look down there to grab the M&M, and then you'll find it.
Yeah, be right next to it. It'll be like I've been stepping on it almost the entire time, not even noticing it. It's just the way the
back of the crumbs. But kind of going back to like just the tool geometry thing, you know, I think another important thing, you know, I started, 2.5 years ago?
Yeah. I was in San Antonio when you
did that. You were.
Donald just joined us. Donald Starr.
Hi, Donald.
So we know who's going to win the giveaway.
No.
Yeah.
Hey, I haven't heard from him in a while, so I'm glad to see him up in here.
And I'll make this quick because I think it's important too, but you know, I'm up to like 13 different tools now, and working in manufacturing, like the only way I can really describe like all of this, I really think it's been like a God thing, because man, to go from like a thought, a concept, an idea, a prototype to testing to manufacturing and then into hands of consumers, man, that takes a really long time. I've worked in the industry and it takes a long time and there's a lot to it. But every time there was an opportunity to like start the next bit, like everything was already kind of in place. It was like already in order, and it was easy for me to kind of go to the next step. Yeah. And like I said, it was like a total God thing. And it's funny because, you know, I'll meet people out here and they're like, man, you've been such an inspiration. And for me, it's like, because I've been in it and it's been like one step at a time, I don't feel like I've done anything extraordinary. You know, because it's just been like, there's a problem. I had to find a solution. And then I'd go on to the next and then go on to the next. And then next thing you know, like 2 years go by. And then all of a sudden there's 13 tools that have been like released, developed in the hands of consumers. And that's almost unheard of in the world of like manufacturing, you know.
In such a short time. Yeah, absolutely.
In such a short time. And so like that's also been like a really exciting like journey. Cause I don't know what to expect. I've never done this before. I'm like learning as I go.
But you also have your background, your manufacturing background, to kind of help you with that too.
Yeah.
I'm more impressed that you have the infrastructure in your two-car garage to make these awesome bits.
Yeah.
Well, like, I'm really curious about your whole setup.
So I was actually going to have my my CNC grinder in my garage originally, and I thought it would have been really cool for about a month, but I think my wife would have got really upset hearing like air compressor and tool changes. And
yeah,
so I actually have since then moved out of my garage, and I have a little 1,000 square foot shop in Tempe.
Mm-hmm.
And you walk in and there's like wood and it's like stacks of crap. And then I got like my Shapeoko, and I got my Onefinity, and I got my Thunder Laser. And then all of a sudden there's like this huge, like CNC grinder, you know, it's like,
everybody meet Big Brother.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's taking over.
Meet the guy we all aspire to be.
And I'm already like out of room already. I'm just like, holy cow.
Oh my gosh. So,
that's a good problem to have though. I mean, because
that's a great problem.
Well, you're doing, man. And we're glad to see you doing as well as you are.
Well, I couldn't have done it without you guys. So, like, literally, I couldn't do it without the community. So, the thanks really needs to go to you guys.
Well, I mean, you enable us to do the things we're doing, and it's kind of like a full circle effect.
Yeah. Well, so thank you. That means a lot.
And I think a good message just before we do the giveaway here, so we can wrap up, is that when you're a good person with good intentions and you listen to those around you, those are like the ingredients to have success in, I think, any business or any company.
You turn me up because that's absolutely the truth, man.
And thus far in this 2.5 years of business for you, I've watched you go from prototype to what you are now. And it's been an outstanding journey to watch. And I think it's a privilege that we even got to be a part of it. So we appreciate you letting be a part of it and helping spread that, especially last year. Last year, I was like, this dude's really trusting the outcome of his Kickstarter on guys he really doesn't know.
Yeah.
So we appreciate that.
And you know what's funny? Like coming to Workbench Con, my wife's like, you're going to go meet a bunch of dudes from the internet? And I'm like,
yes.
I'm like, yeah. Yeah. But it's totally different.
Dudes will say, hell yeah.
like I've talked to these people so often over the years, like I literally feel like it's like family, you know? And so anyways, that was kind of funny, but yeah, a lot of thought, consideration, prayer went into it, quit my full-time job.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Burned all the ships. Like, I'm all in. There is no other option for me. Like, it's here. And so I have no other choice but to just keep, like I said, chopping wood and pushing forward and just doing right by the community, I guess. So
the last question I have for you is, I'm trying to decide how big that cabinet should be.
Oh my gosh, I don't even know yet.
I'm going to build 50 spots in there, okay? And every time you get one, the year it comes out, I'm going to put a label in the year.
Label in the year.
That would be pretty cool.
It's the same thing we do for ornaments, Josh.
Well, these are not just going to be ornamental. They're going to be I'm going to be utilizing them. But, like, I never really been truly excited about bits until, like, you came into the picture. Because you have, like, you changed the way we use bits. Like, you're listening to the community in such a way that, like, you're coming up with things that said it couldn't be done. You did those, and you continue to listen, and you come up with new bits. It seems like every time I talk to you. So
and then China swoops in and totally rips me off.
Oh, yeah. Well, they're always listening. So
listen, all I'm telling you is this. I don't get hurt feelings, and my soul doesn't leave my body when I buy bits anymore. So there's that.
Yeah, that helps.
You know what's funny, though? Like, so those knuckleheads, man, so I made my very first V-bit, the downshear V-bit, and then China totally ripped it off. And then one aspect of it, like, it's kind of it's not every day you get to say China ripped you off. So for me, it's kind of, it's kind of like a feather in my cap.
It's also a badge.
But on the other hand, I'm like kind of bummed out because I'm like, guys, it's just me by myself in this shop. And I'm just trying to, you know, do stuff that's good for the community, and then they rip it off. But you know what those knuckleheads did? They ripped off my very first design iteration, and I've since then changed it. Like, I think I'm on my third rev, and it's gotten better every single time. And they ripped off my very first design iteration, so I know it's not it's crap.
Yeah,
you know.
But that this should speak volumes to what you're doing. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
that should
give them the seeds. You get the fruit.
Yeah. All right, folks. Hey, check it out real quick. So I got the picker wheel here. Everyone's here. It's not going to be on the laptop this time around just because, well.
Cody's our witness here.
Yeah, he's our witness. And what I'm going to do is I've already got a spin name. So there's more spaces so that way it goes around and has more things to pick from.
If it hits a spin, I'll re-spin. If not, then whoever the winner is the winner.
Before we do that, can you guys give us some numbers? First number in the chat, we're going to sort it that many times. So drop that number now.
First one I see is four. I need four.
All right, here we go. So I'm going to sort. 1, 2, 3.
And confirm. It was four times, not five.
42.
There we go. Matt. No.
The answer to life, universe, and everything.
It is.
All right, here we go. So I'm going to hit the spin. The $50 gift card to Candidates Manufacturing. And the winner is Kumo.
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 Congratulations.
Dude, there it is right there. Kumo. Yep. So Kumo wins the $50 gift card. We will get that to you as soon as possible, probably when we return from Workbench Con. There's a heavy lift to get us back. We got to drive like 8 hours tomorrow. Oh, that's going to be fun. And I still got to get on a flight. Yeah, I'll be sleeping. Nap will be napping. That's what I do. But hey, so in closing, well, congratulations, first of all. Thank you all for joining us. This was awesome. It was not impromptu. Everyone heard about this, you know, through the episodes and whatnot. But we were quite busy with the booth, and we didn't get a story out in time. But all of you still joined us, so we do appreciate that. And Cody, we appreciate you taking time out of your day and from the folks from OneFamily, because we know you're here for that with them and helping them out, talk through their booth and whatnot, and just sharing the good news that is the Jenny Bits. But we appreciate your time and having you here,
man. So likewise, like I said, I'm honored to be here. I really am. So. Thanks for out of everybody you could have talked to, like
you guys wanted to hang out with me. You've been slotted for this from the very beginning. We were doing month out, and I essentially was like, you know, we're gonna have you here. We want to sit down with you and have that real conversation, because you know, talking online is great because you can see each other, but there's also that real live, you know, interactions.
It's been great.
Gotta get Tim over here.
Yeah.
There you go. And start
next year, right?
Yeah. Start your 12-step program now and start putting cash in an envelope.
I'm just going to take all my Christmas money and then put it in Workbench kind of money. My kids don't need presents. It's all
right. Oh, my gosh. Never mind. I love you. But
we can make ornaments out of the broken bits we have. Oh, my gosh. But with that, you got any parting words for anybody?
No, just thank you, guys.
Well, thank you for coming on. We highly appreciate it. And anything?
I think we gave everything we got. We know it makes the community stronger and everything that goes with that. You guys hear us say it every time. Don't shy away from asking questions, and we'll always be here for you.
Yeah.
Just like folks like Cody have been for us. So until next time.
Actually, I would like
to. Yeah, absolutely.
I really want to see your guys' podcast grow and like flourish. So share this with a friend, this episode. Get it out there. I'd love to see it grow.
Yeah, I appreciate that. We would highly appreciate that.
We would also like to see it grow.
Share the podcast with others.
Tim, what do you got, man?
Taking a nod from Cody here is be humble and make things with integrity. It's one thing to make stuff. It's another thing to make good stuff. But it's a huge thing to make good stuff with feedback from the people that you serve. So nice job, Cody. Thanks you for doing what you do.
Thank you.
Amen. So with that, thank you for listening to the Sawdust Nation podcast episode. Get out there, make the connections. They're going to be worth it in the short term and long term for everyone. And go make some sawdust. So with that, Sawdust Nation podcast,
out. Yes. Okay, bye. See you later. Have a nice time.
Bye-bye.
Nap trick for coffee. I heard you were up pretty late last night, huh?
Honestly, yeah, I was up late, but it wasn't anything too crazy, you know? So.